This is a Daf Yomi, Masechta Review, Masechta Pesachim, tape number 4. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call us at 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Yehuda Aryeh ben Harav Yaakov Tuvia Halevi, Zichrono Livracha. The tape begins from Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Ches. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We are beginning toward the end of the second parak of Masechta Pesachim from Daf Lamed Ches, Omer Aleph. We know that Maaser Sheni is brought up to Yerushalayim and redeemed for money by the Balabas. The question is, when the Maaser Sheni is redeemed for money, what is it considered? Rameir learns that it's considered Mamon Hektish, and therefore the Balabas eats it in Yerushalayim as if he was an Oreach. The Chachamim hold that it's considered Mamon Hedyot, but there are limitations in terms of where you can eat them. So you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. And there are a number of nafkaminas between the Shita of Rameir and the Chachamim. First nafkamina is if you have to take challah from Maaser Sheni. The Chachamim would say you'd be chayef, since it says Ariso Seichem. Therefore, since according to the Chachamim it belongs to you, it's Mamon Hedyot, therefore you would be machoyef. But according to Rameir, who says it's Mamon Hektish, you would be pater. Second nafkamina is if Maaser Sheni can be used as matzah. So again, according to the Chachamim, it would be okay. According to Rameir, it would not be okay. And finally, the nafkamina is if you could use Maaser Sheni for an Esrog. Since it says Ulekachtem, so therefore, according to the Chachamim, it would be okay. But according to Rameir, since it's Mamon Hektish, it would not be okay. Related to this, we say, Ein Adam Yoytze Chayavasei B'Pesach B'Matzah Gezula. Since you have Lachem, it has to belong to you. If you steal Matzah on Pesach, you cannot be Yoytze, the Mitzvah's Matzah on Pesach, with matzah which was stolen. Just like by challah it says lachem, so by matzah too the same thing would apply. Now from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Sfas Emes, they both say that one has to be very, very careful that if one has a guest in his house on Pesach, he has to make sure that this guest actually makes a kinyan on the matzahs. And not just that he assumes because he's eating by the person's house, he has rishus to eat the matzahs on Malil Pesach. Since matzahs are lachem, they have to belong to you. You have to make sure that guests actually make a kinyan. We also have the Shita of Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who says you can't be Yaitza Matzah with Maaser Sheni. Technically, Maaser Sheni should be Usser for Matzah. You should not really be able to use it at all for Matzah, since it cannot be taken out of Yerushalayim. We know Matzah, in order to be good, has to be able to be eaten B'chol Moish Veseichem. But really, since Maaser Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim, we know that it gets redeemed in Yerushalayim. Therefore, how are you able to use Maaser Sheni money in order to buy Matzahs to be able to eat them? So we say that since Maaser Sheni sometimes is taken out of Yerushalayim, if it becomes Tameh, then you can be paid it and eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Finally, we say that you cannot use matzah made from Lachmei Taida because it wasn't done Bekavana. And we know that matzahs have to be done L'shem Matzahs Mitzvah. We see this from Ushmartem Es HaMatzahs, that we need Shimur Lishma. Daf Lamed Tes. We know from Shmais, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, Al Matzahs Umarerim Yechlu. It's a mitzvah to eat maror on Pesach. Now, matzah and maror are different. Matzah on the first night, which is not directly related to the Karban Pesach, therefore it is a mitzvah daraisa in its own right. Maror, however, which is not independent, but is totally in the Karban Pesach, therefore, since Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a Karban Pesach, Bizman Hazeh, the mitzvah of maror is only midrabanan. And the Mishnah says there are five things that you can use for maror. Number one, chazeres, which is romaine lettuce, or as referred to in the Gemara as chasa. Tamcha, which is chrein, which is horseradish. Charchavina, ulshin, which is endives. And finally, what we refer to as murr. The Mishnah Berurah says that if one uses chrein, it has to be grinded chrein, not eaten whole, because if it's whole, it's a sakana. We also say that two types, two of the different things together, for example, chazeres and tamcha, the two together can be with starif to comprise a total of a kazayas. You don't need a kazayis of one or the other. The Rush in Arbei Pesachim is machadish that one does not need a kazayis for the mitzvah, but even a kol shehu is good. The only reason Bizman Hazeh we eat a kazayis is since the Rabbanan were masakin the bracha of Alachilas Marar. Therefore, you have to eat a kazayis. And the Yerayim and the Shagas Ari said that a kosher was not enough, but you actually do need a kazayis. The Chuvas Marsham explains that chrein, even when it's grated, since it's so very sharp, is considered shalaikid derech achila. And in the house of the Brisker Rav, they used to leave chrein uncovered for a number of hours before Yontif, so it would be easier to eat. The Tamei HaMinhagim brings down that many of the Rebbes said that a chalash, a person who's weak, can be yoytz the mitzvah with less than a kazayis when he eats chrein. This is based on a taz in Arachayim Simen Reshyud, that if one drinks yayin saraf, which is whiskey, he can make a bracha achreina on even less than a revius, since even when it's less than a revius, it's considered chashiv. So the same thing would apply to tamcha, that even if it's less than a revius, it's considered chashiv, and that would be okay also. We also say that you can be yaitza, the mitzvah of marar, with demai. Now, since chasa, chazeres, romaine lettuce, is first in the Mishnah, it's really the best thing to do the mitzvah. And Rashi explains the reason that it's so good is because we say the chas rachmana alon. It symbolized Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just like Yitzias Mitzrayim was just like marar. Why? Because marar tchilasei rach v'seifen kasha, Mitzrayim tchilasei raka v'seifen kasha. Marar is tchilasei rach. Tchilasei meaning the top of it is soft, but seif on the bottom of it is considered hard. It's soft, it stalks. Mitzrayim was the same thing. At the beginning, they paid Jews for their work. Later on, the Jews had to do it for free. So at the beginning, it was raka, it was easy. Seif and kasha, later on, it was hard. Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz learns a little bit differently. He learns this all out from the pasuk of Vayavidu Bnei Yisrael Befarach, that Bnei Yisrael worked very hard. But instead of reading the word Befarach, he reads the word as peh rach, soft tongue. What is this referring to? At the beginning, when Bnei Yisrael was first in Mitzrayim, people would talk to Bnei Yisrael bepeh rach, very, very nicely, with a soft tongue. And they would point to the fact that Paro was helping. Paro was also working. You see how Paro was helping. Therefore, you people ought to do work also. The Chassam Sefer says that chasa is best only if you have bekiyim who know how to find the bugs in the romaine lettuce. Otherwise, it's better to use tamcha, it's better to use horseradish, chrein. The reason this is true is because if a person eats live bugs, then he is oiver and iser da'araisa. And since marar is only midarabanan anyways, it does not pay to be over an issa d'araisa to be mekayim the mitzvah d'rabanan of achilas mar. And he says tamcha also is minatira. There is a remez of tamcha minatira. What is the remez? Because tamcha stands for tamid misaprim kevoid kel. And since on the night of Pesach, we're busy saying over this the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, tamid misaprim kevoid kel is equal to tamcha. That teaches that tamcha is the best way to do it. By Mar, we know that the Mishnah mentioned the five things. The Shulchan Aruch Harav and Simen Tafai and Gimel, Sifchav Zayin said that only these five can be used for Mar, and no other five can be used. However, even these five can only be used if one has a specific Kabbalah that identifies and matches a specific vegetable today with those of the Mishnah. So therefore, the number one choice is Chasa, because that's mentioned first, Chazeres. This is romaine lettuce. Since it's first in the Mishnah, it's preferred the most. Rav Aaron Kotler held that even iceberg lettuce fits into this category. If there's a chashash of bugs, the number two choice would be tamcha, which is chrein or horseradish. Now, number three, some people have a Kabbalah that ulshin is endive. Therefore, if you have such a Kabbalah, you'd be allowed to use endive for mara. Otherwise, you're not allowed to. And charchavina, which we think is palm tree creeper, and mara, which we think is wormweed, since we have no Kabbalah, most poskim hold you're not allowed to use these for mara, and you're only allowed to use one of the first two, which we know we have a Kabbalah on, or the third one, Ulshan, if you have a Kabbalah on. However, we know that tamcha, chrein, which is kavush or mevushal, if it's pickled or if it's cooked, you cannot use it for mar. So, for example, jarred horseradish, which has vinegar in it, since it's considered kavush, you're not allowed to use that for mar on Pesach. Now, the question is, how do we know mar has to be biyarek? How do we know mar isn't just something bitter, like maybe a part of a fish? So we answer that marar is just like matzah. Ma matzah migedulei karka, af marar has to be migedulei karka. We also say you should not plant two of the five types of marar in one aruga, in one small area where you do planting. You have to separate them because we're afraid of kilayim. We also say that you can be yaitza mitzvahs marar with lachim or yevashim. We even have a Mishnah that says it's oser to soak bran, which is morsin, to feed chickens. because bran can also become chametz. And we also say that a person shouldn't chew wheat to put on a wound, since the saliva going into that can be machmetz. Finally, the Gemara says there are three things which cannot become chametz in their particular states. Number one, ha'afwe, wheat that has already been baked. Number two, hamavashel, wheat that has already been boiled. And number three, hacholot, wheat that has already been scalded. Speaking about the first point, ha'afwe, that bread or wheat which has already been baked cannot become chametz anymore. So if this is in fact true, we know then that matzah meal, for example, is okay on Pesach. Why? Because matzah meal was already baked. That's why you can cook and make cakes or bake cakes with matzah meal on Pesach. However, the question is, if this is in fact true, where does the meaning of gebrachs come from? Once matzah is already cooked, it's already baked, how can it possibly become chametz? Why are we chayshish for that? So many people are machmer anyway on gebrachs for a number of reasons. Number one, because maybe the matzah wasn't fully baked, there may be a little bit of flour on the matzah. Therefore, this matzah, if it comes in contact with water, and you dip it into water, you dip it into wine, could become chametz. And number two, brought down by the Knesset HaGedolah, many people are machmer, because we're chayshish for the fact that people could potentially mix up flour with matzah meal. Flour and matzah meal look somewhat similar, and even though matzah meal cannot become chametz, but since flour, if it's mixed with water, would become chametz, therefore some people are machmer not to eat gebrachs. And in fact, most chassidim are machmer not to eat gebrachs on Pesach for the first 7 days, but on the 8th day, since Smid Rabbanan, it's okay to eat even gebrachs. Daf Mem. Water that is constantly in motion cannot become chametz. So for example, if you have a drip, drip, drip water which is falling constantly at a rapid pace on wheat, or rain, for example, falling on wheat, this cannot become chametz. We also say that one should not wash wheat or barley stalks on Pesach. The Gemara then says, Ushmartem es hamatzis. We learn from here, one should wash chita before Pesach and watch over it l'shem mitzvahs matzah. This shmira must begin from the time of washing, long before even eating. And Rava holds, you need shimur mitchilasai ad soifai. The Rif says l'hachmir, that you must go all the way back on the shmira to the shas katsira. And incidentally, as a side point, if a guy, for example, makes the dough of matzah, you cannot use it because the guy was not mechaven l'shem matzah mitzvah. We then say that a beged where kalayim got lost in the beged, you're not even allowed to sell that to a guy, since he may sell it back to a Jew, and the shatnez is not nicker anymore. Therefore, the Jew would come to be iver. However, you can use this for tachriche hames, for shrouds of a dead body. Tosfos in Masechtas Nida, Daf Samach Aleph, asks, since kalayim is lost in this beged that we're talking about here, why can't it become batel b'raiv, and therefore it should be mutter? So Tosfos answers, bitel b'raiv only applies when we have taruvas isur v'heter. Masha'enke, where we have a taruvas of heter v'heter, for example, shatnez, which is tzemer u'pishtim, each of those independent of one or the other, is considered mutter. Therefore, we don't say batel b'raiv, because it's heter v'heter. However, the Meiri asks, what about basar b'chalav? Basar b'chalav is also heter v'heter, and it is batel b'raiv, so how come we can't say the same thing over here? So he answers, Isuri achila is different, since the Isur is dependent on tam, as we've already learned before. If something is batel b'shishim, the reason we say that something is batel b'shishim is because it's not nice in tam, it doesn't give a flavor anymore. Therefore, since it's not nice in tam, that's why it's batel b'raiv, since there's no tam left anymore. Therefore, there's no Isur. Mashen came where you have two things that are mutter, which are not food, there is no such Indian as tam. Therefore, that's why we're machmer in that kind of a case. Then we say one may not stir flour and vinegar together in a food mixture on Pesach. And finally, we have a Mishnah that says one may not place flour in charesis or mustard. And if you did, you have to eat it immediately, otherwise it'll become chametz. And Rameir says this particular mixture is usser, and you're not even allowed to eat it at all. Daf Mem Aleph. It was also to eat the carbon Pesach if it was cooked in water or any other liquid for that matter. And we bring down a brisa that says one may fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with matzah that was cooked in water. Then we ask, what if it was baked and then it was boiled? So Rameir says it was okay since it was originally baked. And once it's baked already, it can't become chametz anymore. And Rabbi Yossi says, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because we say, yesh bishul achar afiyah. Therefore, this bishul does count as somewhat of a bishul. This, of course, halacha here that's brought down by Rabbi Yossi has ramifications for Hilcha Shabbos, whether we say yesh bishul achar afiyah or ein bishul achar afiyah. We then say that if one roasts the Karban Pesach to a crisp burn, it's still okay. Since we know it says, Al teichlu mimenu na, uvashel mevushel na. If it's part cooked, then that's no good. But if it's crisp, then it's okay. In general, incidentally, as we mentioned before, normally we say ein bishel acharafia, not like the sheep that we mentioned before. We then say hamavashel bechamei tveria b'shabbos. Then he's pater. Why? Because this is not esh itself, but this is told us esh, because it's heated by the sun. The Gemara then says there are three lavin by Karban Pesach, in terms of how you cook them or how you don't cook them. Number one, the isser of not cooking, not eating it if it's na, if it's partially cooked. Number two, if it's not mevushel. And number three, ki im tzliesh, that it has to be roasted. Let's say a person ate it cooked. So he's actually over two things. Number one, he's over the thing about not doing it if it was mevushel. And number three, ki im tzliesh, because it wasn't roasted. The question is now, how many sets of malkas does he get if he does that? Rava says he gets two. Abaye says he gets only one. Because we say, ein leiken alav shebiklos. We also have a similar machlekes by a nozir who eats grape peels. The basic rules of malkas in general are learned from Leisachsaim Shar B'dishay. It says over there, Abayim Yakenu. That's where we learn the 39 Malkus. So we learn from there about all other Malkus. And we say that it has to be a case of a lav Sheyesh by Maisa, which has to be specifically stated method of doing the Maisa. Just like we see by Chasima, that it says specifically a muzzle. Therefore, in a normal case, in order to get Malkus, it has to be a lav Sheyesh by Maisa. Daf Membeis. A behema which was earmarked for a carbon, and then you found an abnormality in the behema, you cannot use it for a carbon, but you have to be maktishit, but you can be maktishit for Berakah Bayis. Let me say Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda brings down, the water used to knead dough for matzahs must have been drawn before nightfall and kept overnight. This is referred to as Mayim Shalano. The reason this is true is because since during April, during that time of year, underground water is warm, therefore it could be machmetz if it touched flour. Therefore, it has to be allowed to cool off overnight. And this is where the word Mayim Shalanu comes from, that it was Lina. It was actually overnight, as we refer to Lina. A person sleeps over, like in a hotel overnight, the same Lashon of Lina. That's why Mayim Shalanu, the word Mayim Shalanu, comes from. We also bring down in Simen Tafnun Hey Sif Gimel, that if, let's say, you made matzahs and you did not use Mayim Shalanu, so according to the Rif and the Rabbam, as it's Eiskepaskin in Shulchan Aruch, this matzah becomes Aser. But according to the Rush, which is then brought down in the Ramah and the Magen Avram, if it was accidentally used b'shaygik, and we have no other dough at all, then it's okay to use this matzah b'diyevet. This marks the end of the second parak of Masechta Pesachim. Now let us begin the third parak, Elu Ivrin. We have a Mishnah that discusses items that cannot be eaten on Pesach, but are not considered chametz gomer, and if a person eats them, he's not mechuyev in karis, but he's only Ivr alaf. This includes two general areas. Number one, taruvas chametz, mixtures. And number two, chametz nuksha. This is chametz which is hard and is not really edible. Rashi explains that the lav here is bal yira'a bal yimatzeh. And he's over the lav of bal yira'a bal yimatzeh if he keeps certain types of items. For example, like kutach habavli. This is something that's partially bread. Part of it is made out of bread. Or shechar modai, which is partially barley. And therefore, these are taruvas. Or things like dyer's broth, which is like chametz nuksha, or shoemaker's paste. Rabbi Eliezer also says that cosmetics of women are also in these categories. We then say that coarse black bread, new beer, or raw vegetables increase one's stool, weakens a person, and takes away 1/500th of his eyesight. Incidentally, our beers today, for example, Budweiser, for example, or Yayin Saraf whiskey, these have a chiyuv of karas, since these are not considered taruvas, as we see in Shulchan Aruch, Simen, Taf Mem Beis, so they're considered chametz gomer, Taf Mem Gimel. The daughters of Melachim used to remove hair with shemen hamor, which is olive oil which isn't completely ripened, as we see in the pasuk of Megillas Esther, shisha chadashim b'shemen hamor. We then say that seyar, which is dough, which is partially chametz, Rameir says that once the dough becomes white, that's when it's considered seir. If it's cracked, then it's considered chametz gomer, and therefore you're mechuyev in karas once it's cracked. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's white, it's not even partially chametz. If it's cracked, then it's considered seir, and therefore it's only partially chametz. We then say that seir must be burnt, and if one eats it, he's mechuyev in malchus. Let me have a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says chametz gomor is mechuyev in karas. Taruvas chametz is only considered alav, and therefore you're mechuyev in malchus. The chachamim say chametz gomor also is a chiyev karas. However, taruvas chametz is not mechuyev in anything. Therefore, not only is taruvas chametz not mechuyev in anything, the same thing would apply to chametz nuksha, which is also not mechuyev in anything. And Rabbi Nachman says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if taruvas is mechuyev in alav, chametz nuksha is kol shekein mechuyev in alav. We then say that women also have an isur of eating chametz on Pesach, and therefore they have a chiyev karas if they eat chametz on Pesach. We learn this from a riboy, ki kol oichel machmetzes, comes to include women also. Once we have a riboy regarding the isur of chametz, therefore we can also say that women are also mechuyev in the mitzvah of eating matzah midaraisa. Aye, what about the fact that on the first night of Pesach, the only reason people are mechuyev to eat it is because it's the first night of Pesach. Therefore, it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So why would women be chayev to eat matzah? So we say that the two psukim, loyseichel olav chametz, and shivas yamim matzah techelu, come together. And we say, kol sheyeshnai bebal teichel chametz, anybody who is mechuyev in the iser of not eating chametz on Pesach, yeshnai ba'achilas matzah bepesach. Therefore, the two are connected. Therefore, just like women are mechuyev not to eat chametz on Pesach, they're also chayev to eat matzah on Pesach. We paskin that if one eats taruvas chametz, he's potter even from a lav. But if he keeps it in his possession, then he's over on an iser of bal yira bal yimatzah. Usually, heterim do not combine with isurim to combine in order to form a kazayis. In other words, if you have a half of a kazayis of chelif and a half of a kazayis of heter, there is no iser, except for the case of yayin nozer, where we say that heter is mitzdarif le'iser. We have two other cases we say this, makdir chametz on the mizbeach, and tarubas chametz v'pesach. Daf mem dalet. A tful yayim, a person who was tameh, and he went to the mikveh, he needs harav shemesh. He has to wait till the evening, till he becomes completely tar. Without it, he's not matam anything, but he can passel the grains of truma. And we bring a raya that heter is mitzdarif l'iser. That's how we see this from here. So we see that heter is mitzdarif l'iser for cases other than nazir. So we say that this particular halacha only teaches us the din of the time that one is mechuyev to eat matzah. In other words, how long does it take of a shear? How long does a person have to eat the matzah? So we say this is a shear b'chtei achilas pras, which is about four eggs, and we learned this from the Gemara in Krisis, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. So if one eats a half of a kazayis, then waits too long, in other words, longer than the time of what it would take to eat four eggs, then he eats another half of a kazayis, of an iser, for example, then he's pater from the iser, because he waited longer than a shear k'dei achilas pras. The same thing would apply on eating matzah on Pesach, that a person has to eat it within that particular shear, otherwise he's not mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. Now the whole shear of b'chtei achilas pras is halacha l'maisha misinai. And halacha l'maisa, the shear of k'dei achilas pras ranges anywhere from 2 to 9 minutes. When we're dealing with matzah, then it's better to try to get in the lower range. It's better to try to eat it as quickly as possible, to be machmir in the lower range of the 2 to 9 minutes. In other words, closer to 3, 4, 5 minutes. However, when you're dealing with Yom HaKippurim, let's say a person is a chayla and he has to eat on Yom Kippur, then the same kind of shear of b'chtei achilas pras applies. However, in that case, you want to be machmir going the other way. You want to be machmir to say that when a person eats less than a kazayis, he should then wait as long as possible, i.e., more like closer to 9 minutes before he eats more than a kazayis. So he'll be machmir in the shear of b'chtei achilas pras. In the halachas of Pesach, in Siman Tof Ayin Hey Sif Vav, the Rama says to take a look by Yom HaKippurim to see what the halachas of b'chtei achilas pras are, what the shear is. And in Tof Resh Yud Beis Sif Gimel, by Yom Kippur he says this is a shear of 3 to 4 eggs. In terms of minutes, we bring down, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Tof Resh Yud Ches, Mishnah Berurah of Sif Katan Chaf Aleph, that by a chayla he says it's better on Yom Kippur for a chayla to wait as close to 9 minutes as possible before finishing up a kazayis, so he wouldn't come to eat something b'chtei achilas pras. However, in Shmir Shabbos Kehil Chasa, Perek Lamed Tes, Halacha Yud Ches, he brings down that if a chayla really, really cannot wait up to 9 minutes, he can go down as low as the 2 minutes. But it's better, of course, to do it, to wait as long as possible. We then say that the halacha of Tam Ki Iker, applies the Chol HaTorah Kula, whenever a davar hamutar is by Leah atam iser, then it becomes aser. And we learn this from Mishras by a Nazir. However, this of course would not apply if it's nice and tam lifgam, like we learn by a Nevela, that as long as you can taste it, or if it makes the taste worse, then the new tam doesn't make any difference. But if you don't have the situation, tam ki ikar would apply. We then say that basar b'chalav is a unique halacha, so it can't be the makar of tam ki ikar l'chol HaTorah Kula. Finally, we say that a pat is only nice and tam l'shvach, in other words, where you could be able to taste it, if it's a ben yayman. In other words, a pat that's been used within 24 hours of something, which something treif got into it. Otherwise, if it's more than 24 hours, we say nice and tam l'fgam, and this tam iser that got into it is pogam. It's like it's not even there anymore, and therefore nothing from this iser would be balea into the davar, which is mutter. Daf mem hei. We say that shtei ksubim habam ki echad, in other words, nazir and chattis, for example, ein melamdin. Then we have a mishnah that says dough which is stuck in a kneading pan, and there's more than a kazayis of this dough in one place, one must remove this, and he has to burn it. And this dough, of course, is chametz. The Gemara then says this is only if the purpose is stam, that it happens to be there. But if the dough, for example, is there to seal the pot, so the pot can be able to hold liquid, then it is bottle to this areva, and you do not need to burn it. This is referred to in the Gemara as osi lechazek. It's there to hold it, to make it strong. And we also say chametz, which became unfit for human consumption, but a dog would still eat it. It still needs a beer, because if as long as a dog can eat it, it could still be considered as chametz. Daf mem vav. For tefilas kelim by tuma, tefilah betzibor, and tefilas yadayim, a person is mechuyev to continue an additional 4 milin on a trip in order to be mekayim these mitzvahs. However, let's say a person already walked. Is he mechuyev to go backwards at all to be mekayim these mitzvahs? We say a person is only mechuyev to go back as far as 1 mil. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same thing would apply when a person is at home and he's trying to decide if he needs to go to a minyan or not. So he's mechuyev to walk up to 1 mil in order to get a minyan. More than 1 mil, he's not mechuyev to walk. We then ask, is toivus hana worth money? Specifically referring to a case, if a person gets to choose which kayin gets to get his truma, is the value of that worth any money? Toivus hana. It's almost like goodwill, you could touch it up as. Rebbe Eliezer says, yes. Therefore, chalado on Pesach is considered his, and therefore he could be over on Bal Yerah. Rebbe Yeshua says no. We then ask, ha'aifem yantiv l'chol, if a person bakes something on yantiv in order to use it during the week, Reb Chizda says he's laika. He gets malchus because it's creating a hachana from yantiv to chol. And we do not say hayil. Rabbah says, ain't a laika. You're not mechuyav al malchus. Why? Because we say the klal of hayil umiklai le archim. Since it's possible, you made the stuff, you baked it, especially for the purpose of Sunday, for chol. However, it's possible before Shabbos is over, before yantiv is over, archim could potentially come. Hayil, it's possible maybe Archim could come, and therefore you would be able to use it on Yontif. Therefore we say, because it is Kal of Hayil, you're Pater. But according to Reb Chizda, it is Mutter to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. That's because we say Erev Tavshilin, we do an Erev Tavshilin. Therefore, since Erev Tavshilin created a situation of Hayil, and this Erev provides a hecker, that a person would not come to mix it up and cook from Yontif to Chol, therefore, that would be good enough. And therefore, even according to Rav Chizda, he would say that you would be allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos as long as you have an Erev Tavshilin. So, according to Rav Chizda, by an Isser Deraisa, like preparing something from Yontif to Chol, you do not say Hayil. But by an Isser Derabanan, which is preparing from Yontif to Shabbos, you would say Hayil. Daf Mem Zayin. We say that the Lechem HaPanim was Necha Letisha, La'asara U'la'acharasar. We know that the Lechem HaPanim was baked on Erev Shabbos, and it was eaten on the following Shabbos, a little over a week later, which is 9 days later. Let's say Yontif was on Shabbos, so then it was made on Thursday, so therefore it's the 10th day later on that it was eaten. That's the Asara. And the Acharasara is possible that if Rosh Hashanah fell out on Thursday or Thursday and Friday, so you would bake it on Wednesday, and therefore it would be eaten on the 11th day, since the baking of the Lechem HaPanim, and we do not bake it on Shabbos or Yontif, because Lechem HaPanim is not Daich HaShabbos and Yontif. So this is a Kasha Rav Chizda. Since according to Rav Chizda, we say, by an Isser Rabbanan, you would be Daicher, and you would say Hayil. And since the Lechem HaPanim was in the Beis HaMikdash, and we say in Shvus B'Mikdash, therefore it's the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan should fall off, and we should be allowed to bake the Lechem HaPanim on Yontif to prepare for Shabbos. So we answer, that's only in preparation for Yontif to the immediate Shabbos. But since Lechem Apanim was for the future Shabbos, for a Shabbos a whole week later on, you would not be able to say that you could do that. In other words, Shvus Kareiva Hitiru. But Shvus Rechaika B'Mikdash Lai Hitiru. The only time we said Ein Shvus B'Mikdash is for a Shvus Kareiva, where it's happening immediately on that Shabbos, but not for something so far out into the future. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, even by a Rechaika, we say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash.